as the brother said, my discourse is entitled Signs of Christ's Presence. It happens that some brethren, brothers, or sisters wonder whether the Lord has really returned. 110 years have elapsed since the Lord came again, and the church is not yet completely glorified. Some children of God wonder even whether the 6,000 years symbolizing the night of sin have passed and whether we are at the dawn of the seventh day of 1,000 years. And yet, can we say, like the predicted mockers, as we read in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3, verse 4, where is the promise of his presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. No, certainly not. For men who are children of the night acknowledge that an enormous change took place. In a French contemporary history book, we read, I translate it from French into English, we read, inventions and technical progress are hastening the rhythm, revolutionizing the state of existence, creating a new style of life progressively, common to all men, standardizing the various civilizations sprung from the history, building a new world. Finally, there is more difference between our generation and that of our grandparents than between the generation of our grandparents and the contemporaries of the Roman Empire. Book de la Grave, page 588. Now, dear brothers and sisters, we are children of the day, and we have been enlightened by the Word of God. The world has really considerably changed since our Lord came again. The Lord is accomplishing in our days a work which the world do not believe in when we tell it them. It is written in Acts chapter 13 verse 41. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no way believe, for a man declare it unto you, But as far as we are concerned, we see this work eye to eye. As Isaiah says, "Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion." Chapter 52, verse 8. On one occasion, the disciples put this question to Jesus. "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy presence and of the end of the age?" Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. The disciples desired to know by what sign they would be able to recognize his presence after his return and the end of the age. They desired to know a single sign, but our Lord quoted several signs in his answer. We are going to examine 10 of them briefly. First, the wise and the faithful servant. Our Lord refers in his prophecy to a servant that he would set him over his household and all his possessions on his return. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45 to 47. This servant was to be made ruler over the household of faith, to give the meat in due season to them, and over all Lord's possessions as a steward. We believe that Pastor Russell was this servant. The work that he performed was so great, and the teachings he transmits us are so consistent with the Holy Scriptures that there is no doubt he was that servant. No one surpassed him in searching biblical truths and in evidencing the harmony of the Scriptures. Second, the work of the harvest. In his prophecy, our Lord mentioned the harvest in the verse 31. He said, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." This trumpet symbolizes the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet, and the heaven represents the nominal church. According to Revelation chapter 14, verse 14 to 16, it stands to reason that the harvest takes place in the presence of the Lord. The harvest is the end of the age, said our Lord. It is a time of separation of the wheat from the tares, of the real Christians from the nominal Christians. It is a time when the tares are bound and then burned. It is also a time of judgment, when the Lord who has come again condemns and spews out of his mouth the Christendom. After the Lord rejected the Christendom, he commanded his disciples to come out of this system called Babylon. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. The Lord performed the harvest with his sickle. The sickle represents the truth of the harvest, the meat in due season. Matthew 24, verse 45. We believe that the separation of the wheat from the tares has come to an end, and that the tares are bound. In our opinion, we are in a time of sifting, when the wheat is being sifted. The wheat is not yet gathered completely in the heavenly barn, and already the tares begin burning. Many nominal Christians, indeed, are leaving the churches and are becoming worldly. They are losing the faith, and they are ceasing from claiming that they are real Christians. All the claims to be Christians are burning, are disappearing. Matthew chapter 13, verse 40 to 42. Saint Paul teaches us that the Lord is making to tremble not only the earth, but also the heaven, the ecclesiastical powers, the Christendom, that is to say, the tares. Hebrew chapter 12, verse 26 and 27. Third, the present tribulation. Whereas the harvest of this age is not yet finished, we already enter into the tribulation predicted by the Lord. We read in the Bible, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until now." This tribulation is coming on the world as travail upon a woman with a child. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. This time of trouble, also predicted by Daniel, follows the return of the Lord. And do not precede it. We read, at that time shall Michael stand up, and there shall be a time of trouble. Someone could say that we are not in a time of trouble, but rather in a time of progress and prosperity. Yes, we concede that we are in a prosperous time, but Daniel explains that the tribulation will come when the knowledge increases. In fact, the knowledge gives rise to the tribulation, because the knowledge enlightens the masses of people about the rights and the privileges, and discloses the depths of the sin, causing anger among the nations. For many years after the second coming of the Lord, the dissatisfaction was not visible in the world, as it were. Although the light of the knowledge was enlightening the masses more and more. But the elements which were to cause the tribulation were getting ready. Finally, a great conflict burst in 1914. It was a worldly conflict, such as has not been from the beginning of the world. It was the beginning of the tribulation. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, we learn that the trouble follows the coming of the Lord. The kingdom is raised up, and after that, the kingdoms of this world are destroyed. This kingdom represents Christ, head and body. It is not necessary for the member of the body to be all in heaven, in order that the destruction of the kingdoms of this world may begin. The members in this side of the veil and those beyond the veil constitute the kingdom raised up. If this kingdom is raised up, the king is present, for there is no kingdom without king. Fourth, the present knowledge. The increasing of the knowledge is a sign of the Lord's presence. Daniel said, at that time shall Michael stand up. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The knowledge has not increased gradually throughout the centuries, but it appeared almost suddenly. The most of discoveries were made within the space of one century. During 6,000 years, the world made not much progress. In 1799, people used chariot and a horse like Egyptians several thousand years ago. Now we travel in supersonic airplanes and even in spaceships. In Matthew 24, verse 27, we read, "For as the lightning," in Greek, astrape, "cometh forth from the east, and is seen even unto the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man." These texts inform us about the manner of the Lord's coming. The bright shining is the shining of the Sun of Justice, which is to bring healing in his beams. As we read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 43, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. "As the light of the sun comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so the presence of the Lord will be revealed." At first, only those who are awake recognize this presence, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 to 6. Then all men will be aware of this presence. Nevertheless, this verse has also the following signification. As the light of the sun rises progressively and shines afterwards in its full radiance, so the light of the Sun of Justice, the light of the truth, symbolizing the knowledge, is increasing and will reach its highest degree of brightness when it fills the earth as the waters cover the sea, said Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 14. It follows that the knowledge is intimately connected with the presence of the Lord. The sketch of the cover of the American magazine The Watchtower, which was being published in the day of Brother Russell, illustrates this truth well. We see there the Sun of Justice rising behind a mountain and already casting its light, whereas the clouds of distress, where flashes of lightning are coming from, are covering the sky. This sketch depicts the present events almost perfectly. The knowledge proceeds from the Lord, as it is written, Psalm 97, verse 4, "His lightnings," those of the Lord, "His lightnings lightened the world." And in Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, we read, "Out of the throne proceeded lightnings." Out of the throne proceeded lightnings. So, fifth, the times of restitution. In answering his disciples, Jesus did not speak especially of the restoration of all things. He made mention of it when he answered Peter, who asked him, "What shall he and the other disciples receive for having left everything to follow him?" Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. Jesus refers here to the regeneration of the mankind, to the restoration of the man, which will take place after the resurrection. It is only after he was raised from the dead that the Lord, through the mouth of John, spoke of a more general restoration, which would include not only the restoration of man, but also the restoration of the social structure. We read in Revelation 21, verse 5, "And he that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." The throne is the great white throne on which our Lord is sitting. The scripture declares that from his face, in his presence, the earth, the present society, and the heaven, the ecclesiastic powers, fled away, disappeared. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. The heaven was to receive or retain Christ until the times of restitution of all things, Peter said. Jesus Christ, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, Acts chapter 3, verse 21. This time of renewal requires his presence. We are in this time already. Also, the very restoration of man has not yet begun. When God wanted to create Adam, he first of all prepared the Garden of Eden. The Lord is doing the same at present. He is making the preparations and the changes which will facilitate the future work of man's restoration. Saint Peter said that all things were to be restored, but not only one thing. The present progress conduces to the disappearing of old-fashioned institutions and to the establishment of new structures better fitted for our day, but also destined to disappear because of the imperfection. The human society is being transformed. The man, enlightened more and more, thanks to the knowledge spread by the Lord, succeeds in performing greater progress. But finally, he will realize that he can establish nothing perfect and satisfactory because he is imperfect and a sinner. Moreover, understanding better and better the perfect principles of justice and the truth, he will no longer support every imperfect thing, and he will overthrow everything he has set up and bring about the anarchy in the earth. For the Lord himself, that is in person, himself, that is in person, descending from heaven with the trump of God. This trump of truth and liberty is blaring into all the earth. The whole world is awaking to the sound of this trumpet, and all the peoples claim liberty and the abolishment of every form of slavery or colonialism. Almost all countries which were dominated by other powers recovered their independence and possess the same rights and privileges as their former masters. Those which have not yet obtained their autonomy claim it forcibly. Even the countries which are considered as independent, but are under the constant pressure of a powerful neighboring country, seek to have full freedom of action. Thus, a certain leveling has been performed and is still being performed among the nations. And Isaiah, in chapter 40, verse 4, we read this symbolical passage. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The Apostle Paul says to us that at the sound of this trumpet, those who died in Christ will rise first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 51 and 52, the same Apostle declares concerning the members of the church, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." In these two passages of the scripture, It is said that the resurrection of the church is done at the sound of a trumpet. This trumpet corresponds to that of Jubilee, which symbolizes the times of restitutions of all things. There are two texts which are full of significance. They are Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10 and Colossians chapter 1 verse 20. We are going to read them. At first, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 we read. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. In the fifth volume, page 424, Brother Russell applies the things in earth to the fallen man and the things in heaven to the fallen angels. Later on, in a sermon delivered in 1910, he said concerning the text of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. We read what Brother Russell said. The apostle indicates the great scope of Christ's work as it shall be eventually when finished. Now we know very well that the gathering and reconciliation of the things in heaven precedes the gathering and reconciliation of the things in earth. In the type, it was the priests that were commissioned to sound the trumpet. They were sounding the trumpet of silver, as we read in Numbers chapter 10, verse 7 to 10. In the antitype, it is the royal priesthood that sounds the trumpet. Jesus as a head and the church as his body. If our Lord Jesus has come with the trump of God, it is also the duty of the members of his body, of the antitypical priests, to sound the trumpet of truth and to proclaim the beginning of the antitypical jubilee, the times of restitutions of all things. At the sound of this trumpet, as we have already seen, the harvest is to be performed, and the elect are gathered together from the four winds. We read so in Matthew 24, verse 31. The whole present social structure of the nations is being shaken to the ground and is being transformed equality of rights for all the individuals is acknowledged almost everywhere, and the increasing knowledge, which is, in a way, the growing light of the first beams of the Sun of Justice, has considerably changed the physiognomy of the world. Although the knowledge has often been used for selfish purposes, nevertheless, it has brought many blessings to the world. The Lord has already made great changes in the world. The nation of Israel, symbolized by the fig tree, and the other nations, represented by all the other trees, are coming to life again and are putting out leaves. It is not difficult to notice that the gospel age is finishing and the millennial age is beginning, that the night of ignorance is coming to an end, and the day is beginning to break, that the old things are being eliminated, and new things are being introduced. We see that what God declared to Adam and Eve after the transgression is being changed. Only sin and death still rule fully, because the ransom, although furnished, is not yet paid for the mankind. The ransom will be paid when the church is complete. Man works less and less in the sweat of his face. Thorns and thistles are easier and easier extirpated. The pains in giving birth may be lessened. We shall still add that the curse which has come upon the sin of Cam is being removed, so that black people once no longer to be subjected to white people. Genesis chapter 9, verse 25-26. The racism in general is being disappearing. 6. The increasing of iniquity. The Lord said, "And because iniquity shall be multiplied, the love of the many shall wax cold." Matthew 24, verse 12. When men no longer believe in God, they lose the fear to do evil. As it is easier to do evil than to do good, and as the fear of God is no longer in men to break the passions, it results an increasing of iniquity. The unbelief is a sign of the Christ's presence. Jesus said, "However When the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? Luke 18:8. Saint Paul said that in the last days, perilous times shall come, and that men will be corrupted. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Violence is now on a considerable scale, and immorality is gaining ground more and more. We believe that the main reason of the increasing of iniquity is the progressive losing of the fallen angels, who are exerting a pernicious influence on human beings. They were responsible for the wickedness which prevailed before the flood, and they are also responsible to a large extent for the wickedness of our days. So said Jesus in Luke 17, verse 26. Seventh, the revival of Israel. Israel is the first nation to enjoy the blessings of the antitypical Jubilee. In 1878, the double for all the sins came to an end. Ever since, the favor of God returned to them gradually. And the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 1 and 2, began accomplishing. The hopes of the Jews revived. The return to the promised land began to be carried out. And the rebirth as a nation has become a reality. This national awakening of Israel is spoken of by the Lord in these words. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near. The kingdom of God, according to Luke, even at the door. Matthew 24, verse 32-33. The prophet Ezekiel predicted the progressive revival of the nation of Israel. He said, "Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Farther on, he said again, "And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them." These verses show that the restoration of Israel has begun. Israel exists as an independent nation. The favor is returning to this nation, because it is said that God lays sinews, brings up flesh upon them, and covers them with skin. But they are still lacking breath or spirit. Israel will receive breath or spirit when the Spirit of God will be poured out upon on flesh. That is to say, when the new covenant is come into operation and when the kingdom of God is established in the earth. The end of the Gentiles' times. 8. Jesus declared in Luke 21:24, "And Jerusalem shall be trodden down by all the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Israel may typify the polity of Israel and the city itself. In both cases, Jerusalem is no longer trodden down. Therefore, the Gentiles' times are really fulfilled. If the Gentiles' times are ended, then the eviction of the Gentiles' kingdoms has begun. For it is unthinkable that no one action may be brought against the kingdoms of this world after the lease of power is finished. If the eviction of the kings of the earth has begun, then the stone has smitten the image. If the image has been smitten, then the Lord is present, because it is He who must destroy the kingdoms of this world. Daniel 2:45, Jeremiah 1:10, Haggai 2:21-22. We may notice indeed that many kings have been dethroned after 1914, not only in Europe, but also in other continents. Brother Russell said in 1915, Watchtower, page 56-32, "The Lord's kingdom has begun operations. The present smiting of the nations is under kingdom control. And the fact that some of the members of the kingdom class are still in the flesh does not militate at all against this thought. We may easily perceive that our Lord is shaking at present not only the earth, the social structure, but also the heavens, the Christendom." Hebrews 12:26-27. The instability is permanent and affects the whole society. We see political changes, coup d'etat, social conflicts, inflation, and so on. 9. The drying up of the river Euphrates. It is written in Revelation 16:12, "And the sixth poured out his bowl upon the great river, the river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way might be made ready for the kings that come from the sun rising. Babylon represents nominal Christendom. The waters of the river symbolize the multitude of peoples, of nations and tongues. Cyrus, whose name means sun, typifies our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Justice. Isaiah 44:28, but we shall not read these verses because you know them. The army of Cyrus foreshadows the members of the church already raised up, the kings of the rising sun. Our Lord does not destroy Babylon literally as soon as he comes again, but he acts as it is shown in the type. He surrounds her first, diverts the water of the symbolic Euphrates, and dries up in this manner what sustained the greater city. Today, people alienate the affections from the nominal church. They leave the churches or neglect to attend religious services. And the recruiting of priests is more and more difficult. Saint Paul says to us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 8, "And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming." Revised Version. Let us notice that the Apostle speaks firstly of the destruction by the breath of his mouth. The breath of the Lord's mouth is the Word of God, the Bible, which is spread today by millions of copies and which undermines the very structure of Babylon. Then the overthrowing of the lawless one of Christendom will happen at the time of the manifestation, Epiphaneia, of the coming, Parousia, of our Lord, at a later time of his presence, when the way of the kings that come from the sun rising is made ready. That is to say, when the church is entirely raised up. Thus, the Lord, to a large extent, is drying up the Euphrates. He is flashing the light of the truth. He is enlightening the masses of people in making them more and more able to distinguish the truth from the error. In the type, it is shown to us that before the destruction of Babylon, the Israelites were called out of this city. They had to flee out of Babylon. It is the same in the antitype. Before the literal destruction of the mystic Babylon, the spiritual Israelites are invited to come out of her in order to not share in her plagues. This coming out of the spiritual Israelites of the midst of Babylon took place in a large measure as soon as the antitypical Euphrates began being dried up, and corresponds to the works of harvest, described by our Lord in Matthew chapter 13, verse 30. And shown to John in Revelation chapter 14, verse 14 to 16. The expression kings that come from the sun rising gives us to understand that these kings are on the march. It suggests the idea that the members of the church are also coming as they pass one after another beyond the second veil. When the Euphrates is dried up, the way will be made ready for them to destroy the mystic Babylon. They will take part with the Lord in the overthrowing of the nominal Christendom. 10, the last sign, the purification of the Levite's sons. Malachi declares, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver. This passage of the scriptures reveals two important facts. First, that those of God's children who would still be in the flesh at the Lord's coming would pass through fiery trials for some time. Second, that only those who would do the will of God would abide the day of the Lord's coming and stand before him. The sons of Levi are the church of the firstborn, the little flock, and the great multitude. This purification is being performed of this side of the veil. So, as Jesus said in Luke 21 and verse 36, Let us watch and pray that we may stand before the Son of Man. Amen.